Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's new beginnings time. Set your, I hope your alarms were set to turn on new beginnings. Those of you that are listening to us live on the internet, welcome. If you want to send us a text message through the Blog Talk site. We're here to listen and to respond. Those of you who are calling in, welcome. Welcome to you as well. Before we begin, again, I say thank you for joining us every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That's when we come together, praise the Lord together, and we've become a little family, a little Blog Talk family. But we have hundreds of messages in our library. So if there's something that you missed or something that you're curious about, take a little trip through the library, the archived library that's on the Blog Talk site under New Beginnings. We're going to start off this evening before I introduce James Gary and give him the microphone. I want to pray. And I also want to ask for prayer. I've had a burden, very pressing burden that I have not been able to get out from under. And that's for our youth, especially our Black and Hispanic youth, and what they are going through within the schools, the challenges that they have. We talk about Black Lives Matter and what's going on, but I've had this burden, and one of the things I've been praying about is what to do with it. And so if you would just, when you think about me, when you think about the issues that we see with our children, with our young people, and especially in situations with the police and what our young people deal with, trying to navigate the educational system and the health systems and so forth, and just in our community, trying to make a way for themselves, make a life for themselves. Would you please just lift up our youth? So I'd like to begin with prayer. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given us, Father God, another opportunity to get it right, another opportunity to serve you, another opportunity to praise and worship you. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the people that you've put in our lives, Father God, that we interact with, Father God. I like to call them the God appointments, Father, where we know that it was you that put these folks in our lives for us to minister to or to minister to us, Father God, and that even in the combinations that you put together, Father God, that there's purpose in those different combinations and couplings. I thank you, dear Lord, for that. Father God, we lift up Katrina and James right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, for divine healing for them, Father God, and for comfort for them, as well as Diane and Pastor Paul. We lift up Cornell, Lisa, Bonnie, Corey, Stuart. We lift them up in the name of Jesus. We lift up little Kaylin in the name of Jesus. We lift up Amber and Deborah and Beverly, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that you know every hair on their head, Father God, that you knew them before they were even, before we knew them, Father God, I put it that way, before they were born. And Father God, that you knew that these things, that there would be challenges that they would go through. I thank you, Father God, that they would be strong, Father God, and reminded, Father God, that there's healing in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that they would that they would be encouraged, Father God, that you would put people around them, Father, to lift them up and to keep them encouraged. I thank you, Father God, where they're weak and torn down, Father God, that you would put folks around them, Father God, to keep them lifted up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you put folks around them, Father, to serve them, to encourage them, to help with the different situations, Father God, if there be financial needs, physical needs, Father God, monetary needs, need as far as help with travel back and forth to the doctors and so forth. Dear Lord, just make sure that all of their needs are met, Father God. Call on the saints, Father God, to go and show themselves, Father God, and show the love of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
Thank
you and praise you, Father God, because you're so wise and so worthy, and because there's healing in your name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let me get to my site. I want to introduce James Gary. He's our guest speaker this evening, and he is a director in his church. He is a gifted teacher. He's a gifted minister. He's gifted in his career. He's gifted and anointed. And we thank you. This evening he will be bringing forth a teaching, the seventh and final teaching on Equipped for Life, the seven foundational keys for new believers study series, which was written by his minister, his pastor, I believe, Reverend Dr. Thomas Kenneth, who has a doctorate in ministry. And they come to us from the New Jersey district of the Assemblies of God. Tonight he's going to share on a teaching entitled Investing Your Gifts and Resources, a Biblical Look at Stewardship. And he will share the rest, I'm sure. I don't want to read too much and take up his time. He's an excellent teacher. Welcome to our site, and here you go. Cousin James, are you there?
Everyone.
James, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with New Beginnings Ministries. And we thank you for what you're going to share with us this evening. Thank you.
Amen.
You have the mic.
Amen. Amen, amen. I just want to say welcome to everyone that's online, that's listening over the air live. Those future listeners which will come and listen to the podcast, we just say God bless you. We just want to bless all the churches that are represented tonight by this ministry, starting with Calvary Temple, Wayne, New Believers Ministry as well, and New Beginnings Ministry here, and all the various ministries that are represented tonight. I think that it's a blessing that God allows us to be here tonight, and on behalf of my church and of my Father in heaven, I just say bless you and thank you for coming. So tonight, I'm going to just open up in a quick prayer, and I know that there's a heavy burden in the air, but when that happens, what that is God sharing his heart, allowing you to feel a little bit of his heart here on earth. And that is a gift that I can actually talk about. I've been meaning to actually do a teaching on over the radio called Burden Bearing, and that it's really a gift from God, but you have to know what to do with it and how to use it, or else you'll feel crushed every single day. So without further ado, we'll continue our session in prayer. So, dear Jehovah, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for tonight, for all of the listeners, those in the distance of my voice, Lord God. We ask that you will bless them, that you will open up our minds, our ears, and that our spirits, Lord God, and our souls will be attentive to your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in, let my words be your words, and your words be my words, and bless your people tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so yes, we've already gone through approximately seven weeks of teachings here, and we left off on teaching number six, which was key number six, which covered a biblical look at the church, communion, and word of baptism. I'm just going to pick up from there before we move on to the seventh and final teaching, and I want to do this because there's a key point in here that will help us, I believe will help us in our seventh teaching, and that deals with Christ's relationship with the church in particular. So today I just want to start off with point number five. But we covered the following topics during our last session. That was the meaning of the church. Number two was the community of believers. Number three was the importance of the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of communion. Number four was descriptions of the church in the Bible. And we're up to number five right now, which is with the protection and guidance established by Christ through the church. One of the blessings that we have as a community of believers, especially if we attend a church on a regular basis, is what we call the spiritual authority that Jesus has established at every church. See, there's power in numbers, because the Bible teaches us where two or more gather in his name, that he will be present. And that is what you want. You want to be there in the presence of the Lord. Now, there are things that are supplements, and I always want to talk about this. There are things that are supplements, things like the television, modern technology, for instance, this radio station. These are what we call supplements, right? Television ministries. These are supplements. They should be supplements to your daily or your weekly consumption of the word in the presence of the Lord. But we should not forsake the gathering of one another at the church, because there's an anointing that is placed on the church that guarantees that you will receive a blessing each time you gather together amongst fellow believers. To some, it may not seem like this is a blessing, but the Bible tells us much about the protective and the protection and guidance that comes through leadership in different areas of our lives. See, Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the husband, who is the head of the wife. So, and the children follow, and it goes all the way down. There's order in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the God that we serve. There's order. And through this ordering, there's what we call in the Assemblies of God, something known as a fivefold ministry. And these are the gifts that Jesus actually, he was perfect in each and every one of these gifts. And those gifts deal with the way that we are to relate to one another, and when we're in the church, the way that each part deals with each other part. So, for instance, what we call the office of pastor, or bishop or overseer, he's the elder, the leader of the church, and he pretty much oversees what Jesus called his pasture. He shepherds over those that attend the local church. And in fact, pastor literally means shepherd. And it's he has a responsibility of looking after those that serve the Lord under his leadership. So that's a special amount of power, but it's a huge amount of responsibility. So that's why we must always pray for our leaders. And the shepherd, the pastor as shepherd, he has the responsibility of providing nourishment by feeding us God's word that offers two things: guidance and protection. So we must pray for our pastor as well as our other spiritual leaders at every chance that we can get. And that's important, because you want them to be anointed and protected as well, so that they will bring good messages to you and feed your spiritual needs and through the Word of God. So I'd just like to start and back this up biblically in Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And this is this is the key point regarding the church, and the office is set up by Christ. It's not set up by man, it's set up by God. And Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, and I'm reading from the NIV version, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is the purpose. So not everyone is going to be a pastor. Some are going to be apostles. Some are going to be prophets. Some are going to be evangelists, and some are going to be teachers. But there will be pastors, and that's the fifth office. All of us have some aspects of each one of those. And again, Christ had the perfect pairing of all those things together. And he was the culmination of all those things. And when all those things work together in us, you see miracles happen. And you will see miracles happen on a regular basis in your church. And I also like to read Hebrews 13:17, which says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you." So there's also some benefit in coming and surrendering under the authority of those that are in charge over you. We do it in the world all the time. When you go to work, you're surrendering under the authority of someone. And when that doesn't happen, there's friction, and somebody will have to go. So there's always structure in God's kingdom, so we want to adhere to that. And then I just wanted to move to point six before we again go into our final key. And that is that is the ordinance of baptism. So just like we learn in this teaching in key number six about the key items that are important to have fellowship in our churches, we talked about communion. And just as important as communion is baptism. And in the book of Acts, it clearly shows us that water baptism was a normal experience for every believer. And it always happened at some time shortly after salvation. So after a person would give their lives to Christ, shortly thereafter, they would be baptized. Now, it's important to note that neither salvation nor additional grace comes through water baptism. However, it is an act of obedience. And when you go all the way back to the book of John, and John the Baptist talks about when Jesus came to be baptized, he said, "Hey, Lord, you should be baptizing me." Even Jesus himself turned and said, and surrendered to the ordinance of baptism and was baptized himself, so that he could actually, he was given a foreshadow of what he was going to do and what actually happens when we're born again. So when we follow baptism, the ordinance of baptism, we are being submerged under water, which is the equivalent of dying with Christ. And when we were raised out of that water, it's the equivalent of being born again into a new life, into a changed, with a changed character and changed life. So that's what it signifies, and that's why Jesus did it. So if Jesus, and I always say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Amen? And amen.
Amen.
So it's an act of obedience. It's also an outward symbol of the inward cleansed or changed person or changed heart. It's also a public witness to the lordship of Christ, and you can read more about that in Galatians 3:27 and 1 Peter 3:21. And it's also an identification mechanism. In other words, what we're doing is, again, we're identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you can find more about that in Romans 6:1, verses 1 through 4. And this one actually is, this spiritual reality is best symbolized through the full immersion underwater. Not just the sprinkling with water. You don't see that in Scripture. You see full immersion. And again, Jesus did it, so should we. And finally, as an identification with the body of Christ and the community of faith. And the thing about baptism, it is and why it's important. It not only, you know, the Bible tells us that if for one person being saved, the heaven, the angels in heaven and the heavens rejoice just for one person being saved. What do you think happens on the other side when the enemy sees a child of God being born, being delivered from death into life? So, in other words, it is putting the enemy on notice. As much as it is about obedience, it's also putting the enemy on notice that you are a child of God. You belong to God's kingdom, not the kingdom of darkness. So this is one of the key reasons for baptism. So I'm going to leave key 6 now and move on to key 7, but I just wanted to make sure that the listeners understood why Christians get baptized, why we conduct full water baptism, and why it's important to put the enemy on notice. Because every time the enemy wants to harm you, he has to get permission to get access to you. And you have a covering, and that's the covering of our Lord by his shed blood on the cross. It covers a multitude of, actually all of our sins, and a multitude of hurts it will prevent from being obedient and coming under the covering of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so with closing with key number 6, I'm going to open up key number 7. And here we're talking about investing your gifts and resources. And again, it's a biblical look at stewardship. And our life principle number 7 is this: God is honored when I faithfully reinvest the gifts and resources he has invested into my life. And the key verse I want you to look at today is 1 Peter 4:10. And I'll read that for you. It says, Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Again, in Ephesians 4:11, we saw that some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors, and some are teachers. If these are the main ministry offices that you or gifts that you've been given, you should operate in those gifts, and you should seek the face of the Lord, and you should bless other people. Let the light shine into the darkness in this world so that people may be set free.
Amen.
So that's the point of it. And there's several themes that run through the New Testament, and also are supported by the Old Testament concerning our attitudes or attitudes of Christians that we should have toward all the gifts that we've been given. And in fact, Paul asks a question. He asks believers a question, because there are many that become materialistic. Oh, I work. They'll say things like, "I work for this. It's mine. I deserve it." Oh, it's mine. It's mine. I deserve it. But the truth of the matter is, what Paul asks here in 1 Corinthians 4:7 is this. He says, "What do you have that you have not received?" See, sometimes we have to think back to when we, for instance, got that job. How did we get that job? What were the blessings that were lined up to open the door for the interview for that job? What were the blessings that opened up the ability for you to have that resume completed and written in such a way that it would touch the hearts of those people who you had never met?
Mm-hmm.
See, these are the divine provisions that happen and oftentimes are forgotten. So we must always ask ourselves to ground ourselves. We have to ground ourselves with this question: what have we received that we what have what do we have that we have not received as a gift from God? You work because a door was open for you to get the job to work. You know, these are simple ways to look at a more complex theme.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read a couple of things here, and I want you to think about and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart. When it comes to, say, for instance, our talents and gifts and resources, the Bible teaches us that we should seek to bring glory to God in all that we do and in all that we have. Seek the Lord and seek the glory of God in all that we do and all that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 Corinthians 4:7, God says this to us: "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" See, pride.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, pride was the thing that got the enemy thrown out of heaven. Pride made the enemy want to overthrow the throne of God. Pride made the enemy try and take as many angels as he could, and in fact convinced a third of the angels to fall with him. Pride. So we must consider, and we must always take ourselves off of the platform of pride, because all gifts, every good gift, comes from God, from the Father of lights. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
The Bible also instructs us that we must keep an eternal, what we call an eternal perspective, and never allow temporary or temporal earthly things to cloud our heavenly vision. So everything that you have around you in your home, it was given to you for a purpose. And it was given to you as a blessing so that you could be a blessing to others. So we must always remember that God, one of God's names is, the Father is Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Mm-hmm.
We must never lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew 6:19-21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
Hallelujah.
Amen. Any questions about that?
Mm.
Or thoughts? Mm.
Yes.
Oh, this is, this is very good, because I like how you said, you know, we shouldn't get so prideful, and the things that we do have, we have to take inventory what's the word I want to use? We have
Stop.
To, yeah, you know, we have to really think about that. It isn't us. Like when you said, even with the resume, even with the open door for that interview and whatnot, you know, sometimes we get so full of ourselves that we forget that it's God that's opening up the way. You know, and when we get to that point where we do have the things that God has, he's purposed and planned it for us anyway, since the foundation of the world, we have to realize that He did it for his glory.
Amen.
He did it for our good, but he does it for his glory.
Amen.
That we can give him glory for opening those doors, for having what we have. I like this, Elder. I really like this. That
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Us today. This is very good.
Yeah, even in 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Lord tells us this. He says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Must prove faith. See, love is a trust.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as love is a trust. God is trusting us, every Christian, to give his son to others.
Wow.
To gift his son to others. God is love, so he is entrusting us to give that love away to others.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never run out of love, because God, that love lives in us. And God wants us to give it away and never be afraid to give away.
Amen.
That's very good.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to comment on your comment Director James, in terms of where your treasure is, whatever it is that you treasure, there your heart, and there will be your heart. And that's what God looks at. He looks at our heart. What is it that we treasure? You know, what is it that pulls us away from, I call it selling out for Christ. What is it that pulls us away from him? And God wants to be first in everything that we do.
Yeah.
He wants to be first in everything that we do. Our lives should be based on living for Christ. And that question there is just, where is your heart? Where's your heart? What is your treasure? What is it that you love so much that pulls you away from spending time or having that relationship with Christ? So I like that, you know, when you alluded to that part there.
It really is so good, and I like to bounce off that as well, because we store so much up here, you know, on this earth that is temporal, and the Word of God says it. And we do the hustle and the bustle, and we try to get this, try to get that, and that's all well and good. God wants us to have things, but things shouldn't have us.
Amen. Amen.
You know, because when, just like you read in that scripture, you know, moth-eaten and whatnot, and we should be kingdom, we should be preparing for the next life. Not saying we shouldn't have a full life here, but prepare ourselves. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it, because after they get caught up, they forget that you can't take it with you.
That's
and
right.
Why not give it away? He gave it
That's
to
right.
us, give it away.
Amen.
He gave us Christ, give it away. Give him away.
Amen. See, the fact is that, and actually, I think one of the best secular people that came up with a cliche is Susie Orman. She said, love people, use money. See, that is powerful. Because the fact is that we will either use earthly blessings to the glory of God, or those things will use us.
Yeah.
Or those things will use us, which leads us to our second point. See, I like this because it's getting your attitude or attitudes in the correct place.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the attitude that Christians should have toward all that we've been given. That yes, especially Jesus. We've been given Jesus. He's a gift, because if God had not hardened the hearts of the Israelites, where would we be today? We'd be no different than the Canaanites, the Edomites, the Sodomites. We would be no different than them. So we must always take stock or take inventory as to where our hearts are, which leads us to our next point, which is our need to invest into the advancement of the kingdom of God and its benefits, and the benefits that come with that to the believer. See, a closed hand, if you're tight with your money, you're tight with your things, nothing will leave that hand, but nothing will come into that hand either.
That's right.
See, when
Amen.
We give, our hand is open to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand that.
Yeah.
So in addition to using our financial resources in a wise and honorable way, if you know, you can read a book of Proverbs and you can learn a lot about money by reading that. We must also use the opportunity to worship God through our giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible has a lot to say about investing into the advancement of the kingdom. First one would be example of paying tithes or offerings. And there are several principles found in 2 Corinthians verses 9 through 7, which should guide our giving. The first one, the first principle is we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. And that's a lot of times the world uses that in a bad way. But as Christians, we should look at that in a different way. In a different way, and we should see the benefits of it, because God tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10, that remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness.
Amen.
Now you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive him. It's true. And we should give with purpose and forethought. Purpose and forethought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
and we should also give with expectation,
mm-hmm.
because this is one of the promises of God, that if we give, it will be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together.
Running over.
Running over.
Yeah.
This is a promise to God. So when you give your tithe, give with expectation. When you give your offering, give with expectation, knowing that God is good and he will provide a return. And a lot of times it won't even come directly as financial. It's not dollar for dollar. It's exponential. God's kingdom is exponential.
That's good.
See, he says one can cause 1,000 to flee. Two can cause 10,000 enemies to flee.
Mm-hmm.
So what can three do?
Wow.
Cause 100,000. Four could cause over 1,000,000 enemies to flee. That's why we get together and we pray. That's why we get together and we study. That's why we get together and we worship the Lord. It's the same way with our finances and those gifts that we've been given. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
There's so many I can read on this. And I'll tell you, I remember I was downsized, and I went through a season I think it was about a year or two, that literally unemployment wasn't enough. There's no way I was going to pay for all the stuff that I had. And God blessed me through that season. He caused my enemies to bless me. He caused money to come from places that I could not even imagine.
Yeah,
and just like the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, their shoes did not wear out. You will get it in so many areas. Your car won't break down. You'll get, your tires will last beyond the expectancy of the manufacturer. There's so many other areas. You'll go to a store to buy something, and they'll give you something on top of that and say, no, keep your money. It's no good here. There's so many other ways that you'll be blessed. So just remember that. Never reluctantly give, and be faithful. Be faithful, because the Lord will work through those things. And I'm going to move to point three, which talks about giving in the early church. Giving in the early church. Giving in the early church is actually divided into three major categories, which still apply to us as believers today. And it follows what we call the Jewish pattern of bringing the first fruits of their income. And then in those days, there wasn't like the cash reserves and the cash like we use now. That's why Jesus always talked in agricultural terms, because cows and livestock and all of the herbs and spices, those things were the equivalent of what we call money today. So they would give these things. They would give the cattle off the top, for as their tithe or their sacrifice. They will always give a tenth of the increase. Even if there was a battle, they would give a tenth of the spoils to the Lord or to the Lord's people. So the thing is, we don't continue in the New Testament, and which we follow, we don't just tithe because it was emphasized in the law of Moses. See, we don't live under the law, but we must always remember that we, giving God the tithe is something that came even before it was in the law. And if we were to read Genesis, look at Genesis 14:20, it says, "And praise be to God, Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. A tenth of everything. So even before tithing was in the law, this is what's going back before Moses. We're talking about Abraham. He gave a tenth. He gave a tenth of his winnings. of what he won from beating, from God giving him the victory, he gave that to Melchizedek, and it was counted. In fact, it was so important because even before Isaac was born, it was accounted to Isaac, that gift that he gave as a tithe to Melchizedek. And that's an interesting study I would recommend that the listeners read up on is the tithe. And Melchizedek, and who Melchizedek was, mm-hmm. and what mm-hmm. and what he means to us today, mm-hmm. and how the relationship between Jesus and Melchizedek is almost parallel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would recommend that you definitely look at that. Which leads us to point four, and that is discovering and investing our gifts. See, God chooses for us to invest because he first invested into our lives. See, just like when Abraham needed a sacrifice, God told him to go offer a sacrifice. And he wrapped his son and brought him up, and he was going to offer his son as a sacrifice. And what did God do? No, God said, no, your money's not good here. Your son is not good enough for me. I will provide the sacrifice. And he provided the ram. And in the same way, God actually did the same thing for us by giving us Jesus, his son. He gave the sacrifice. All mm-hmm. other world religions, you know, they're giving up their firstborn. They're killing their children. They're doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, in those world religions. And our God, what makes our religion different is that our God, and in fact, it's not even religion, it's a relationship. Our God provides. He's Jehovah Jireh. He provides that sacrifice. If you want to read a little bit more about that, you can read Malachi 3, 8 through 10, and Luke 11, 42, and God talks a lot about that, and also 1 John 3, 17. Now, in addition to the financial resources, like I said, God chooses to invest our various gifts. He wants us to invest our various gifts into the lives of others. See, gifts sometimes appear as special talents. Like one person may be a great artist. Through that art, he may be able to bless 1,000 people. Look how much Picasso paintings cost these days. You know, could probably feed you know, a third of Africa in the areas that are poorest, you know. I mean, gifts come in many forms. However, just like this, the parable about talents, we are not to hide our gifts. Mm-hmm. In fact, if we hide our gifts, God will take them away from us and give them to someone else who will grow them and appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
So we must always, huh?
Like he did with the talents.
Exactly, like he did with the talents.
Very good. Very good.
Like he did with the talents.
It's very good.
In fact, I think this one is worthy to read. and this is Matthew 25:14 through 30. So, and again, from the NIV, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master returned
mm-hmm.
and settled accounts with them. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many, many more things." And he said, "Come and share your master's happiness. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags, that was the man with 5 bags. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So my question to you is this. Why did the rich man get so angry?
I think, I believe not just because he buried it, but because of the fear. He said, I was afraid. What were you afraid? And what it did was it paralyzed him to stretch himself to do what he was supposed to do, invest it, do something with that talent.
You know what? It was it went even beyond the fear. The fear he didn't like, but beyond that, what did he do? He judged the master.
Oh, wow, yes.
He judged the master. He told him basically that he was a thief and a robber. He harvested wherever he did not plant.
Wow.
So he
I never looked at it. That's very good. That's very good, sir.
So when God gives us gifts, are we judging him? Are we hiding them because, we listen to voices that cause fear to rise up and cause us to be paralyzed and not invest those gifts?
Wow.
Think about it. Think about it. And then point four, in addition to financial resources, actually, I'm going to move further because I covered that one. I'm going to move to point five, which is the believer's place in the body of Christ, the believer's place in the body of Christ. And the New Testament emphasizes that each and every believer has a unique place within the church, and not one of God's children is left out. Paul emphasized in his first letter to the Corinthians that since God values the ministry of every person within the body of Christ, we should value each other's place as fellow believers. See, in God's eyes, our abilities are not nearly as important as our availability. It's also important that we are motivated by love toward God and also by love towards each other in all that we do. In all that we do. And that will direct our paths, and it will show God if we're just doers, sayers of the words, and readers of the word versus actual doers of the word. And Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So faith is important component. And then point six, we're going to talk about the three categories of gifts in the New Testament. And the first one is what we call the motivational gifts. And we can find that in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. And it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. We must use our gifts. So in other words, it's important to use our gifts, but we must use them with the amount of faith that God has given us. If it's prophesying, well, I think prophesying has gotten a bad rap. Prophesying basically is a person that is tuned into the right station that asks God what does God want to share about a given situation, about the future of a person, or if God has a word for that person. That's simply what it is, being tuned into God. And the only way to be tuned into God is to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what separates a psychic from a prophet.
That's
a prophet
good.
Goes to God and asks God, what do you want me to say to your people? What is the word? And God, the promise of God is this, that he will never do anything without sharing first with his prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a promise. But the thing that the psychic people do using mediums, they're using familiar spirits and other things to try and tell the future about things. And what happens is those evil spirits are trying to cause things to happen and manipulate people and cause things to happen. That's why God hates that. They're tuned to the wrong station,
mm-hmm.
the enemy station.
Amen.
So we want to have the motivational gifts. We want to move with motivation, whether it be prophesying. The prophesying helps us get on track with what we need to do next. A lot of times people don't hear from God as to the next thing they should do, because they haven't completed the things that God already told them to do.
Wow, that's good right there. That's good.
Wow. So very, very important to be obedient. He loves mm-hmm. obedience more than sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Then the manifestation gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, you can find those in. It says, now to each one manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, message of knowledge. So words of knowledge. Same Spirit. To another, faith is given a high measure of faith. Right? Same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. Another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, interpretation of tongues. All these works of one, the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. So these are the gifts and why it's important to work together. And then finally, the office gifts, which is Ephesians 4:11. And it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, and again, those are the fivefold ministry. Christ had them all, and he was perfect in each of these. So, key words to remember, stewardship, the right handling of the temporal resources that God gives his children, and tithe, one-tenth of the increase which belongs to the Lord. A lot of questions we get when we have this teaching, well, should I tithe off of my gross? Should I tithe off of my net? Well, my answer is, do you want to be grossly rich or do you want to be netly rich? Do you want to be grossly blessed or do you want to be netly blessed?
So
you can make your decision based on that. Do you want to be blessed off of your net or net gift or blessed off of your gross gift? Let
we
each person decide.
Gross. We go for the gross, brother.
Amen.
Go
Amen.
For the gross.
Amen. And I will close with this, and that is that to those that are worried, I've seen serious teachings in the world about tithing and about pastors taking money and stealing money, all kinds of things like that. I tell you, if you're in a church that is doing anything that is not biblical, that's why it's important to read your Bible, you're in the wrong church. And not only that, but if you give and you're nervous about that, you need to talk to God, because don't worry about what that person is going to do with the money, because
right.
the pastor, that's as the leader, has – there's a heavy penalty, which includes life, the loss of life,
yeah.
For abusing the funding that is God's. You cannot abuse the gifts of God. So don't worry about that. You're supposed to do, and God will bless you richly and kindly. So with this,
mm-hmm.
I close in prayer.
Amen.
So dear Jehovah, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask that you will seal this teaching in the hearts of every listener, Lord God. Father, I ask that you will bless them royally and abundantly. Let every word be sealed in their minds, in their hearts, and their souls, and bless them in every way that they could speak of, so that you would bless them exceedingly abundantly more than they can ask or imagine, so that they can tell the world about what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What a wonderful teaching, as always, as always.
Amen.
Thank you for bringing us to remind us about the foundation of Christ, you know, the foundation of people. We do thank you so much. For those of you that's listening by internet, once again, we do thank you for tuning in. Those who have called in, please remind you that you can go to the archives and share this message with a friend. Amen. Share it with a friend. You're not to hold it for yourself, but spread the news. Amen. We do thank you.
Amen.
We look forward to hearing you next week. Once again, we do thank you, Director James. You're an excellent teacher.
Yeah.
And we pray that God will bless you above and beyond all that your heart desires.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Tom Kynett, our district superintendent, for having confidence and faith in allowing me to lead this ministry. And we just bless him abundantly, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
I face the dawn.